And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is November 4th, 2015. And this is Orly Benny Davis. And this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to have our beloved Italian music. Then we are going to check with our European Union friends and to see what they're up to. For the start, I want to recognize November 4th, 2015 is 20 years to the date since Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin got shot and got killed in a rally for peace. So may he rest in peace. I know that we were commemorating his memory for the last week or two between, you know, the documents and facts. And the idea is that peace is possible if we only want it. And the proof of that is that today we got news from the Jordanian imam that declared that anybody who stab, you know, a fellow people, you know, human, other human, even if it's Jew, in the middle of the street is a betrayal act. Because if the Israeli gives them work, food, and shelter, and they stab them, it means that they're supposed to be loyal to them instead. And that is a good start because it means that the message is starting to evolve, which is people are people, and that's it. You know, we are working. There is light and there is darkness. Stay in the light. Act as a light. It doesn't matter who the other part is. You're going to be okay if you, proceed in the right lane. Anytime that we tempt to understand, to contemplate how is the bad side working, that's where we lose our way and focus. Remember, the light shines in a steady beat, but you cannot lose a track of it. Because if you lose a track of it, then who's going to guide you back? Anytime that people feel that they are all well and they are sure on their walk and they're going places, sure enough, something will happen if they just move their head and, you know, they have to keep their eyes on the ball like everybody else. So keep your eyes on the ball. Remember, there is a God and it's not us and we need to be in his light, in his shadow. It's even hard, but it's still in the, you know, in God's world. It's not easy. Nobody said that your climb in the world is easy. No, nobody told you that it's a steady, fast track to success without bumps. And sometimes when you get to the success fast, just remember how sloppy is the descent. Because, you know, the heart beats up and down and you are the same. And, of course, you have to be graced by God's gift to have the luxury to be on a steady course. But if you are an economic steady course, your heart will torment you. If you are on a heart relaxation, your economy will torment you. Something will bug you. If you think that life is steady, you're not alive. Life is something that always pop up in a certain way, and that's what's beautiful about life. Remember those movies where he said, what a great life it is? It is a great life if we enjoy it. But, the spirit to be alive needs to be within. And right now, the European Union are all in the midst of craziness. They have all those people emerging and they are contemplating what to do and they have some debate inside. And I love to hear them talk because they're bright. You know, there is, the wheel turns. And not always the American have the loud, megaphone to talk, to tell you what to do, because sometimes they are contemplating the future. And now that the European are evolving and thinking what to do, they actually think it together. This is the first time that they start to consider each other's thought without being very offensive. And it's interesting what people have to say to each other. Let's listen to it. We have so many versions, and we have so much. The one that we want to pick up is the one that will be a winner. That's how I think about life. I don't. When you get prepared, you know that whatever you go is gonna be okay.
Keine blauen Karten angenommen werden. Meine Damen und Herren, wir wollen heute mit dieser Debatte des Beginns des Ersten Weltkrieges vor 100 Jahren gedenken. Im Jahre 2014 ist diese Menschheitskatastrophe in allen Debatten gegenwärtig. Wir werden heute sicher auch darüber diskutieren, dass die Bestialität dieses mörderischen Konfliktes, die Sinnlosigkeit dieses Massensterbens, die Menschen bis heute zu...
Good afternoon, everybody. Chancellor Merkel. So you're off to Downing Street to negotiate the EU budget with David Cameron. And you do so against the backdrop of the Court of Auditors yesterday, for the 18th year in a row, failing to give the accounts a clean bill of health. You do so against the vote in the House of Commons last week, where a majority of MPs were asking for reductions in the EU budget. And of course you do so with a growing anger in Britain. You know, why are we pumping £53 million a day of British taxpayers' money into this union? Not that that'll matter a bit. Cameron's a very weak Prime Minister, and I'm sure you'll walk all over him tonight and win that negotiation. But the EU budget isn't really the question. It's Britain's place in this union that is the real question. And increasingly, Britain looks like a square peg in a round hole. You see, we didn't join the Eurozone. And that means that every time you have one of your summits in Brussels, when the big debates are going on, there is actually nothing for the British Prime Minister to say. And in fact, if we do say anything, we're now seen as the dog in the manger. The fact is, Chancellor, you are leading the Eurozone on a journey to a much more deeply centralised and, I think, more fundamentally undemocratic Europe. But nonetheless, we simply can't join you on that journey. Whether it is harmonisation of financial market regulations, as you said today, whether it's the financial transaction tax, whether it's the banking union, Cameron is forced into the position, time and time again, where there is nothing he can say other than no. Because British public opinion, and now as the Labour Party appears to have discovered a bit of Euroscepticism, or at least a bit of opposition, you know, he cannot join these conversations. Now, I sense in Brussels, not from you, but certainly around this chamber, an increasing growing hostility to the United Kingdom's membership of this union, and indeed there are many here that blame the Anglo-Saxon markets in London and New York for the faults of the Eurozone. Wouldn't it be better, Chancellor, tonight, if you went to Downing Street and said to Mr Cameron, look, this simply doesn't work anymore. It really is time that the United Kingdom left the European Union. He hasn't got the courage to say it himself, but if you said it to him, it might have an impact. I mean, all I'm suggesting, Chancellor, is that we have a simple, amicable divorce, and then we'll all get on much better in the future.
Thank you. One word on the UK. I want to have a strong UK in the European Union. To make that absolutely clear, I come from Germany. The UK was with us when we were liberated from National Socialism. I can't imagine we had British soldiers still in Germany. I can't imagine that the UK wouldn't be part of Europe. And I think it's good also for the UK to be part of Europe. If you have a world of 7 billion and if you're alone in that world, I don't think that's good for the UK. And so I'll do everything to keep the UK in the European Union as a good partner. And so that's why I'm going to London this evening. And I would ask the inhabitants of this wonderful island that you can be very happy, but you won't be happy if you're alone in this world. We're a strong Europe with 500 million. We're in favour of freedom, of democracy, and look round in the world and see where that isn't the case, and be happy that we're together.
Mr. Farage.
Part of the EU or not, Chancellor. It's a very different European Union, isn't it? The 17 Eurozone countries are on a journey and are moving somewhere completely different, and every single proposal that you come up with, Mr. Cameron is forced to say no to. So we're going to find ourselves, effectively, as the Cinderella state, because you will make big decisions that affect the single market, of which we're a member, and we, in fact, according to you, even UK members of this Parliament won't be able to vote on issues that affect the Eurozone, which undeniably knock on to the single market. So I understand what you're saying, but frankly, we find ourselves now in a completely illogical position. I would have thought Britain has to be either wholly, fully in or wholly, fully out, and with a simple free trade agreement. And maybe Mr. Cameron will agree with you on this, but ultimately, the British populace are seeking a totally new settlement.
All right. So I guess this is it. We did well to listen to it, because you can understand the debate in the European Union where England wants to disengage. Remember, she still kept the sterling because no queen will give up her coin, which is normal. And then we have all those immigrants that influenced the impact completely, the European zone and, you know, demographic, economy. And to be a part of it is actually a big liability at this point. So the debate continues. It continues to, you know, to think how they can be a part of it and how they can disengage. And this is they're going to be okay at the end of the day because they're talking. And I think that we have some more that that we can, you know, share with you today. Let's listen to that.
Co-President, Freedom and Democracy, Mr. Nigel Farage.
Age when the gap between ordinary voters and the European political class grows wider by the day, I have to ask you, having listened to your words this morning, just what planet are you on? This pretense that everything's going incredibly well. The EU is mired in deep structural crisis. Greece and Portugal and Ireland cannot survive inside the euro. The Danes have torn up the Schengen Agreement, and good for them, because the total free movement of peoples is a completely irresponsible thing to have done. And public opinion is saying, whilst they want a European cooperation, yes, of course I agree with that, what they don't want is this Europe run by unelected bureaucrats like Mr. Barroso. You say the EU is fantastic in a recent comment. You're supporting the destruction of national democracy. But it's with reference to Greece that I'm most concerned about you, because when faced with their recent enslavement, you said, "We lived for many years as a non-sovereign country under Soviet occupation. For us, European integration is not a threat to sovereignty, because we experienced not long ago a serious threat to our sovereignty." So what are you saying? That this isn't quite as bad as the USSR? Is that really good enough for your people? And today you describe Greece's problems as trivial. I'm sorry, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there on the streets of Greece fighting to get their democracy back. And it beggars belief that you and our president, Mr. Buzek, can talk about the solidarity movement, can talk about Poland getting its democracy back 20 years ago, and yet here you are, surrendering the democracy and sovereignty of Poland to a failed European Union. Yes, sir, we all want a shared European cooperation for the future, but this most definitely is not the model.
Thank you, Mr. Co-President.
Are you ready to answer the blue card question?
Mr. Goebbels, blue card question.
Thank you, President. Mr. Farage is a little bit like a cockerel. You know, he's sitting on a heap of unmentionables and going cockle-doodle-doo. But apart from the criticism, what about suggestions? I haven't heard a single constructive suggestion as to how we could change Europe. You know, what ideas do you have for the future of this continent, then, Mr. Farage?
Post-1945, there were some very sensible ideas put together, namely the Council of Europe. Let's have a Europe where we sit down together, where we have a free trade agreement, where we agree minimum standards on work, on the environment. We can do all of these things without a European Commission, without a European Parliament, and without a European Court of Justice. We've done it in security terms with NATO. Yes, it'll mean you'll lose your job, Mr. Barroso, but apart from that, why can't we do things as mature democracies? Yes, I want you sacked, Mr. Schulz, as well. I want you all fired. We can do those things, and that is a positive way forward. By taking away from people their ability to govern themselves and transferring that power to the European Commission, we're headed for a Europe of rebellion and violence. Let's take the democratic route.
Thank you, colleagues. It's a very interesting discussion, we know very well. Now will be the next speaker. Colleague.
All right, we are back, and it seems to be incredible gestures of understanding of the situation from the English point of view about the European crisis. And you know what? We all in this together. Europe is not alone, and America is not alone, and the Middle East is not alone, Australia, all the rest. This universe is not alone. We're all connected. Now that everything is, you know, all those structures are dysfunctional, we need to reorganize. And, you know, sometimes we really suffer through the change. We really have a hard time understanding that every change is for the best. And every change gives us an opportunity. Let's think like the winner we are, because we've been through war, we studied, our parents, our teachers taught us well. They taught us what we did wrong so that we can have a better future. Now, we gave our children everything we couldn't have because, you know, the relaxancy of the world, it wasn't easy. But we still have the knowledge how to do it right. And we can do it right if we focus on what the end game is. We talk about global economy. Global economy needs to start someplace. It's not like big company like Fiat or like Mercedes-Benz going and open a shop. Come on, this is not. You know, every rich person can go anywhere in the world and start selling something, make more money. Well, that's not the plan. The plan is how the world is going to be globalized in the economical aspects by creating a mechanism of globalization. Now, I've been talking about it since 2003 when I ran for Senate. Then it was a little baby in my mind. It didn't create a thought. It was like it was an idea that I needed to consider due to the fact that 9/11 2001 happened. Once somebody, and it symbolically targets the World Trade Organization, I knew we need to replace it. But the once you replace it, you need to understand that you have to use the tools of the time you are doing. It's like, oh, I need to cook a bake a cake, and I used to have, you know, this incredible topping from America. But I cannot, because I'm in Israel right now. And here, the whipped cream is different, or the topping is different. I'm going to use what I got. The cake is going to be excellent, different, but it will still be our cake. If I'm talking metaphorically, the cake will be even better because you made it happen with what you got. Now, it's not hard because all the mechanism is in place. The only thing we need people who can see globally. If you think that Einstein in 1938 already talked about world government, you recognize the fact that we are already 100 years after, almost, let's say, 85 years after. So he already saw it coming. Now, I don't want to be, thinking that, you know, every country needs to dismantle. It's already dismantled. We, you know, the United, the deals. Okay, let me not spread. Let me focus on the idea of economy. The economy, for example, that Donald Trump is talking about. Donald Trump is a successful man that makes a lot of business and he knows how to do it. It's the same prototype, but we need to go global on this one. So we need to use those prototypes and go global. We need a big, massive agreement between countries. The United Nations could be the stage of agreement, but you know what? They're not. Forget them, because the stage of a no-no zone, that's true. You know, yesterday there was a news from the European Union that they're going to designate all those products that are coming from Judea and Samaria. It means like after the 67 borders. All the products that will come from there, they'll be signed off, and they will be doing something anti-Israeli divestment movement. I wrote to the president of the EU, Martin Schulz. I said, you guys have to grow up, because those people who work in there are Palestinian. They're not Jewish only. So actually, you have a collaboration. You're going to take thousands of households and bring them out and get them out of business. Grow up. Just stop it. If you guys think that, you know, my household is a function of mine only, you guys have to reconsider, because it's not. Your house is the friend's house, the children's house, their family house, everything. We are a part of each other. It's like, things that we share. We share the world, we share the economy. If they won't be successful, we won't be successful. And every time the Chinese try to take it all one zone, now it's, they drop like the big balance of power. They just drop to one side, and it will be really hard to pick that ship up. And I don't know about China, but they need to really pay attention and actually come back to the plane and start playing fair. All right. So I promise you Wednesday is the Italian music. I got some good Italian music. Let's listen to some of it.
L'amica che non stanca, la mia banca, il mio avvocato, la mia stella della sera. Non è un gioco vivere con me.
Is happy Wednesday with Italian music, love music, and that was the group, the best group. You know, there are a few groups that are excellent in Italy, and their name is Ipu and women. That's the subject of the song and the name of the song, and they're talking about how women helps in life. And you know what? I don't know how in other countries, I know how Americans, you know, love is, and how in Israel, maybe in other different country, I didn't experience, but what I can say, the Italian way of being is really nice, okay? They should write books about it, because We feel short. You know, the Israeli are battling always. They're all soldiers, so they get snappy. They are aggressive. They're mob. Because, you know, look at it. They, you know, people need to be on alert all day long. You can't blame them. But on togetherness is something that needs some art. Like in Italy, there is music, environment, good food, good clothing, everything. A part of tradition. So I love Rome, I love Italy, and I respect that. Anyway, let's go back to the European Union. We have another segment. We forward a little for you, so you miss the other languages, so it will be all in English and we can understand. Let's go with it.
Introduction, you said that the First World War was an industrial war. And indeed, you've only got to drive 2 hours up the A4 from here and visit the battlefield at Verdun to see exactly what you were talking about. For those that haven't visited, I think it's probably the grimmest battlefield I've certainly visited on the Western Front, or indeed anywhere in the world. And it was something that had such a huge psychological effect on France that it very much dominated the thinking of Monet and Schumann post-1945, that this awful thing must never happen again. And those of us in politics will all remember the rather famous photograph of quite a large German Chancellor Kohl and a rather small French President Mitterrand holding hands, standing in front of that ossuary at Douaumont. And so the whole European project comes from the disaster that was sparked by the First World War, and it is entirely understandable that people should have sought ways to prevent such awfulness. The difficulty is that they chose the wrong target. Monet and Schumann decided, and it's shared today by Mr. Barroso and the Cohn-Bendits and others, they decided that it was the existence of nation-state that led to war, and therefore we have to abolish nation-state. Actually, what we should have focused on post-1945 isn't the abolition of states, it's to make sure that the European states were democratic. Because democratic nation states do not go to war with each other. So I have to say that I believe the whole European project is based on a falsehood, and it's potentially a dangerous falsehood. Because if you try to impose a new flag, a new anthem, a new president, a new army, police force, foreign policy, whatever else, if you try to impose that without first seeking the consent of the people, you're in danger, actually, of creating the very nationalisms and resentment that you sought to snuff out in the first place. We've done this all before. We did it after the First World War in the Balkans. We said we can't have all these little Balkan states going around fighting with each other. Let's bring them together. Let's give them one flag, one anthem, one president, and let's call it Yugoslavia. And it led to horrific wars since 1990, the deaths of tens of thousands of people as people have fought to get out of a false state. The European Union is making a very similar mistake because there is no consent for this project. I've heard people this morning talking about the need for a United States of Europe on a federal model. You could only have that if people give consent for it, and nobody has. And when you put the Constitution to the peoples of Europe, the first time you really come clean with the electors, they rejected it. I'm not against Europe, but I'm against this Europe. I want a Europe of independent, sovereign nation states that trade together, that work together, that cooperate together, and I believe the European elections this year
will mark a turning point. The tide is turning. You're backing an outdated model that seeks to get rid of a problem that actually hasn't existed since 1945.
Wow. All right. All right, we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth, our Italian music Wednesday, with a lot of best regards to some friends in Italy, Mr. Andrea Sasso, the guy that went under, you know, surgery today, and he's came back on the other side well, thank God. So he's alive and we are happy, you know. Italy with him is a whole different thing, ball game. So good for you, Andrea Sasso. Now, we want to consider what he was saying about the European, you know, democracy. Now, with all those refugees, democracy will be really hard to keep because they're coming from a different direction. And that's where we need to have some kind of common sense. How are we dealing with the world? Immigration of people, and by all means, people come and move by law, legally, not legally, and we're all stuck with them everywhere in the world, and you cannot run away from it. You know, even if you go to an island, they'll find you. So you need to come with some kind of a clear idea of how to cooperate with them, rules of thumb for them to understand, universal one. And once we start talking on, you know, together on the same page, we can do it. And, you know, for the life of me, I know that there was the G8, the G20, the G something were meeting every year, never understood what they're doing. Because at the end of that meeting, I always will say, okay, what's the announcement? Nothing. There was never. Never announcement. There was never even, an idea coming that I can say that I got it. Of course, they had to talk about something. They did a lot of things, but it wasn't so obvious that me, that are, you know, I'm a part of the game. I'm part of politics. I talk, I see things happen, and I monitor it constantly, did not relate. So it means they were dealing between themselves. So is this world is divided only for the good, 2.5% plus the 2% that, you know, gets around the gathering of them, the groupies of the 0.5%. That's how the world is divided, because you guys are corrupting the world for quite some time, and it's about time, you know, we start clearing this, clearing the European Union, clearing the United Nations, clearing any kind of corrupt organization. UNRWA sent. You know, UNRWA is the organization that helped the Palestinian. So they just sent a speaker to speak in front of Hamas. And I'm saying Hamas wants to come to the plate. They need to declare it. You know, you cannot play with it. And I can understand that the UNRWA working with them, they will talk to them. But they need to also talk and advance in preparing them to a different life. Because it's over. The dark ages are done. The dark ages are done since we got enlightened all with the internet. We all know what's going on. We are good. So it's not that hard. Let's listen to Italian music so it gets lift our spirit up. Even if you don't understand, I'll tell you.
Gli occhi e penso a lei, il profumo dolce della pelle sua, è una voce dentro che mi sta portando dove nasce il sole.
Right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. It's quarter to 8 in Jerusalem. So we are talking about the situation. Remember yesterday or the day before Sunday, I was talking about how the government, the Israeli government, is doing really a shake-up. Something is happening. And of course, they just lost, a vote, a major vote on, something very in basic of they should have lost that vote. But it's a message to the from the opposition to the coalition that they're not going to stay there for long because they're winning. Balance of power when you have so many, such a narrow margin of majority, any given time they can fold. So I told you it's not going to last for long. Now it's the shakeup started. It's okay. Whatever will be, will be. We'll handle it. I'm just thinking that something needs to be happening, and it's happening. So it's good. It's good news. And it's important for us to remember that that we want to love each other. It's about time. And there is a message from my friend Lucien on her Facebook, Lucien Lacasse. She said, "Voglio un uomo che mi rovini il rossetto, non la maschera, la maschera." I want a man that will ruin my lipstick, not my mascara. Remember, she wants to, women wants to be kissed, not teared by their loved one. All right, get some girls, to smile and be kind to them, because for some reason in the last 20 years, this world of ours created this superwoman image, which we have to be looking good, of course, in shape, of course, very, very, fragile because we need to be skinny, then we have to be powerful because we need to have an attitude, then we need to go and conquer the world and do something, business-wise or teach something or learn something or get a graduate something, right? Then we have to go back and talk to kids, which will be dressed up at very nice, getting together. So you have to collect them and be nice to all your friends there, of course. And then you go back home and you need to feed them and then chaperone them to all their thinking. Then to be ready for your husband that comes home all beautiful and shake up, and then maybe you go out and maybe not, and the whole routine again and again and again, and we're exhausted. We are exhausted. I've been running a fast track, and people asking why half of marriage do not last, because the obligation is so much that the women really, really, really have hard time keeping it up, and she wants a partner to bring it to the level, and of course they could retire too. The world is brutal, so the expectations are so high, children are so spoiled, and we just get ourselves ragged, tired, and sorry. Sometimes I love to wear my blue jeans and my boots and be all country. And there is a saying always, keep it country. And that's how I like it. But, of course, politics, people never saw me in blue jeans. Politics keeps you in suit and everything. And, of course, news people have to do the same. Let's listen to some more music. No, no, hold on a second. I got a few minutes. I have only 10 minutes to go, but I still have Nigel talking, and we want to hear what he has to say. We'll get it for 7 minutes or so, and then we're going to salute Nice with the finish of Italian song. All right? Let's listen to Nigel.
You have the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-grade bank clerk. And the question that I want to ask, that we're all going to ask is, who are you? I'd never heard of you. Nobody in Europe had ever heard of you. I would like to ask you, President, who voted for you? And what mechanism? Oh, I know democracy is not popular with you lot. And what mechanism do the peoples of Europe have to remove you? Is this European democracy? Well, I sense, though, that you're competent and capable and dangerous. And I have no doubt that it's your intention to be the quiet assassin of European democracy and of the European nation states. You appear to have a loathing for the very concept of the existence of nation states. Perhaps that's because you come from Belgium, which of course is pretty much a non-country. But since you took over, we've seen Greece reduced to nothing more than a protectorate. Sir, you have no legitimacy in this job at all, and I can say with confidence that I can speak on behalf of the majority of the British people in saying we don't know you, we don't want you, and the sooner you're put out to grass, the better.
Good morning, Mr. Van Rompuy. You've been in office for 1 year, and in that time the whole edifice is beginning to crumble. There's chaos. The money's running out. I should thank you. You should perhaps be the pin-up boy of the Eurosceptic movement. But just look around this chamber this morning. Just look at these faces. Look at the fear. Look at the anger. Poor old Barroso here looks like he's seen a ghost. You know, they're beginning to understand that the game is up. And yet, in their desperation to preserve their dream, they want to remove any remaining traces of democracy from the system. And it's pretty clear that none of you have learned anything. You know, when you yourself, Mr. Van Rompuy, say that the euro has brought us stability, I suppose I could applaud you for having a sense of humour, but isn't this really just the bunker mentality? You know, your fanaticism is out in the open. You talked about the fact that it was a lie to believe that the nation state could exist in a 21st century globalised world. Well, that may be true in the case of Belgium, who haven't had a government for 6 months, but for the rest of us, right across every member state in this union, and perhaps this is why we see the fear in the faces, increasingly people are saying, we don't want that flag, we don't want the anthem, we don't want this political class, we want the whole thing consigned to the dustbin of history. And we had the Greek tragedy earlier on this year, and now we have the situation in Ireland. Now I know that the stupidity and greed of Irish politicians has a lot to do with this. They should never, ever have joined the euro. They suffered with low interest rates, a false boom, and a massive bust. But look at your response to them. What they're being told, as their government's collapsing, is that it would be inappropriate for them to have a general election. In fact, Commissioner Wren here said they had to agree their budget first before they'd be allowed to have a general election. Just who the hell do you think you people are? You are very, very dangerous people indeed. Your obsession with creating this euro state means that you're happy to destroy democracy. You appear to be happy for millions and millions of people to be unemployed and to be poor. Untold millions must suffer so that your euro dream can continue. Well, it won't work, because it's Portugal next. With their debt levels of 325% of GDP, they're the next ones on the list, and after that, I suspect it'll be Spain. And the bailout for Spain would be 7 times the size of Ireland, and at that moment, all of the bailout money has gone. There won't be any more. But it's even more serious than economics, because if you rob people of their identity, if you rob them of their democracy, then all they are left with is nationalism and violence. I can only hope and pray that the euro project is destroyed by the markets before that really happens.
Thank you. Co-President Nigel Farage.
All right. All right. We had a wonderful, wonderful time listening to him. You know, there are those people in history that makes a difference, and he is one of them. I love him so much that I think that, you know, shake people up, which with wisdom, with truth, with, you know, direct and righteousness. He's caring. He's a caring man. You're talking about poverty. Guys, people are poor all over the place. People don't care. Those are in the ivory towers, don't care. And it's about time we shake things up, because it's impossible for the world to keep on going this way. We are not talking about, you know, one country or another. It's a cahoot. They are running the show, and they have a free ride by the government. They get to one country or another. They invest in cutting the deal with the government and give them, you know, and the government sell all the goods of the people. Wow, it's about to stop, and I really, really hope that we have this, you know, one really great guy so we can start shaking stuff up. In Israel, it's going to happen sooner or later because, you know, they are not giving people work. It's slowing down the economy. They're bringing more, 20,000 Chinese, for God's sake. There are so many hardworking laborers, you know, Palestinian or Arab Israeli, that get out of business of that or get without work. Maybe they can blame it on the condition, but I don't like it. I don't like it a bit. But before we leave, I want to leave you with one thought. All right? The Iranians are complaining with the Russians that they don't have the same target. Now, I don't know about that airplane, because that airplane had a history 13 years ago, which is very far, that its tail broke off and they amended. I'm talking about the airplane that fell in Sinai a few days back. Now, you know, the American already saw it and said that it's not a missile, no missile hit it, but it might be an explosive on board. Now, they are helping and they are trying to find the solution. But the fact that the Iranian came out and stated some sort, immediately after there was a so-called an attack on some weapon in for Hezbollah, which probably it was sent by Iranian. There were comments. I would suggest that we need to keep an open mind on all the players that might be changing sides. All right, and I really bless the connection between the American and the Russian, because they are holding power, and as such, they need to work together. And as far as we're concerned here, we welcome any cooperation with anybody, because we love to keep on living and create an engine of strategy of building economy and growth and loving and worshiping God for who we are as human under one God. That's all. All right. It's time is back, and I love you all. We'll talk on Sunday. It will be a few days without me, but on Sunday I'll be back early and with a lot of blessing, prayer, and all with Israeli music. So, until then, ciao, ciao. Orly Benny Davis, send forth. God bless you.